let's say your house surrounded by a gate, a 20-foot wall. So when it climbs that gate, they climb that wall. They're in your front yard, your backyard. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. You cannot shoot them for that. Just the mere fact of them being on your property. They're committing a crime. You can't shoot them for that. They have to be doing something else. They have to be breaking into your car, breaking into your house, trying to kill you. They have to be doing something else before you can use deadly force to stop them.
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We've got a special guest today, Michael Cargill. You are the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, as well as the owner of a Supreme Court case. So two things.
Plaintiff.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Before we get into all that, let's get into your background. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Florida man.
Yeah, went into the military, served 12 years in the United States Army. Got an Army back in 1999, and then I started a trucking company, moving elevators around the country. Also did a little, I was a project manager for a telecommunications company, installing DSL around the country, did all that kind of stuff, and then eventually opened up the gun store. And the reason I opened the gun store is because I wanted to make sure that, you know, my family had the tools they needed to protect themselves, you know, so.
What'd you do in the Army?
An Army, I was an MP, and also I was a band. I was in a band, a musician.
Oh, sweet. What did you play?
Tuba, trumpet, and trombone.
I had one of the guys, I was in the 82nd in the infantry, and one of our guys left to go be in the 82nd choir. We ridiculed him mercilessly, obviously. I think if he had been in the band, it would have been...
Wouldn't be as bad?
As bad, but he was like singing show tunes and shit. Because like he had a very broad vocal. He was actually a really good singer. He had a broad vocal range, so we would have him sing just the most ridiculous shit possible. You know, you got to haze everybody in the military. So what unit were you in?
So I was in First Cav. I was stationed at Fort Benning in 11th Regiment. I was also stationed in Korea. And I think that's about it.
Wait, what was First Cav over there? Was that Second ID still back then?
No, it was First Cav when I was at Fort Hood. Yeah.
Man, that sucks, Korea. Well, Korea used to be fun, I'm told. Now it's like everything's all locked down and shit.
Well, in Korea, I was in 8th Army.
Okay, 8th Army, Korea. So you were in the big unit out there, right? and you got out after 12 years. What made you decide to get out of the military after 12?
I was done. Yeah, I was like, screw this. You know, I was tired of just, you know, traveling around. I wanted to, you know, basically stay here in the United States and just enjoy, you know, family.
And what brought you to Austin? Was it the trucking company?
No, it was the military. I actually got out at Fort Hood.
Oh, okay, so you got out of Fort
Hood. Yeah, ETS at Fort Hood, got out there and ended up staying here in Austin and eventually opened up the gun store.
And where's the trucking in there?
So I did, right out of the military, I was a network operations manager for a communications company out of Austin and Dallas. Where we installed DSL when DSL first came out back in the 90s. And so we brought that out in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, you know, Arkansas, Kansas. You know, we brought that out and spread it out and installed it.
Sweet.
And then, you know, after doing that for a little while, I started the trucking company where I moved elevators around the country for a company called Schindler Elevator. You know, if you've heard of Schindler.
Yeah, that's the main elevator company in the country,
Yeah, so I moved the elevators around the country for them. And then eventually I stopped doing that. Yeah, and use those proceeds to open up the gun store.
Sweet. And what made you decide to open up a gun store specifically?
Mainly it was just for family, you know, family, because my family were, you know, were victims, and I was tired of them being victims. I said, you know, you need to stop, you know, just stop being a victim and actually, you know, taking your own personal safety in your own hands. You know, be your own first responder.
Right.
Don't wait for police to come and save you. And so that's what we did, you know, around the entire family. I've had uncles that were special forces, you know, and, you know, we just had to get the ladies together, you know, in the family just to, you know, train them up, get them to the gun range and teach them how to shoot. And so now, hell, my mother carries more guns than I do.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm sure you know this. Not many people do. I mention it from time to time on the show, but the fastest growing contingent of gun owner in America right now is black women, which has been the lowest... of all the subsets of the American population, I think that's been the lowest. they're kind of the last of the party. I think Asian folk sometime in the 90s through 2000 started to arm themselves as well, depending on where they were in the country. I'm not so sure about the Jewish communities in the upper, in the New England areas up there in New York and shit like that. But I know that for suburban America, black women, especially after all the riot shit that happened in 2020. Now, it's interesting because if you ask people, if you look at the polling on this, it wasn't to defend themselves from the police or anything like that. It was to defend themselves from assholes who are looting and fucking robbing people and shit.
That's right. Right.
Which is interesting because if you ask a leftist, they would say, oh, they're, you know, these people don't support the cops. Now, we know that I think it was in the fall of 2020. Man, I can't remember who it was. I think it was the Washington Post that did this poll. But they asked residents of Oakland, which is a pretty rough place, depending on where in Oakland you are, whether they wanted more police, the same amount, or less. And 83% said more or the same amount.
Right.
Right. Which is, again, if you watch the media, that's not how they would frame that.
That's because the media is trying to make people believe something or trying to send them down a certain path. And that's really not what people are wanting. You're absolutely right. It's all about, you know, I'm driving from point A to point B, going to work or going grocery shopping, whatever. Am I going to get stopped? Someone's going to surround my vehicle and try to snatch me out of my vehicle and take what I have. And so they're like, no, you know, it's time that, you know, as a mother, you know, mothers want to take care of their kids. Same thing for the fathers. So that's, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's weird, man. I mean, so we got to Austin. Fuck, when we get here, I think it was in like June of 2020, mm-hmm. maybe May.
That was the heart of everything when everything was shut down.
Yeah, but I never, like, it never bothered me. Stuff being shut down is irrelevant to me. I just do what I want anyways, right? Which is funny, the CDC announced this week, or over the weekend, they tried to bury that on the weekend news that you can treat COVID like the flu now. I'm like, all right, cool. I've been doing that the whole time. So thanks for the advice, asshole. But yeah, I didn't notice too much. Like, there were some protests. I know some kid got shot downtown.
Well, June is when it really happened. That June is when in Austin, they're all downtown. Mm. That's when that Sergeant United States Army, Daniel Perry, was riding, driving for Uber. Mm. And that was right around June. It was like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And when they all surrounded his vehicle and he had his window down, he pulled out his concealed handgun because a guy was standing outside his driver's side window who was private military Air Force
with
a face AK, mask and tactical gear and an AK.
Yeah.
That's right. So he perceived him to pull that AK up a little too high. He pulled out his handgun and boom, fired five shots and stopped him right there.
Yeah. What happened with that case?
Well, basically what happened with that is he went further down the street. He called 911. The police showed up. He didn't, you know, should have exercised his right to remain silent. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Instead of doing that, what he did was he started talking to the police. You know, it's like, I'm a good guy. You know, here's what happened. Da 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 da. They took him down to the police station, put him in the interrogation room. He you know, continued talking to the police. You know, have a nice little conversation. Then all of a sudden, they come back into the room and they say, hey, the guy that you just shot, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so he totally broke down, lost it. And he said, look, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. You know, I'm not hiding anything. You know, here's my cell phone and here's the passwords and everything, you know, in my cell phone. You can, you know, take a look and see that I'm a good guy. Well, when they went through his cell phone, there were direct messages that he had in his cell phone where he was having a conversation with someone else, you know, prior to that. And he said that if I came across a protest, this is what I would do.
Mm.
And so that's what got him in trouble. So the police officer that investigated this, Detective Fugit, you know, said that he was, you know, justified. It was a justified shooting. He didn't do anything wrong. But it was the DA, the district attorney, got a hold of that investigation and everything, saw those messages and said, this guy was looking for a fight.
Mm.
And so the DA got a grand jury to indict this guy and then brought him to trial and they got him convicted. And so now we're waiting to see if Governor Abbott is going to pardon him, because he never should have been convicted in the first place.
Yeah.
And those messages in his cell phone never should have come out. He never should have mentioned, you know, passed the cell phone to them. Always exercise your right to remain silent. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Mm-hmm. Let your attorney do the talking for you. Do not talk to the police at all.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how much you support cops or If you think that particular cop is a good dude or whatever, because in this case the cop was on his side, but it didn't matter.
Right, didn't matter. It's the totality of everything. You got to look at everything. Who else is going to look at that? It's not just that police officer they're at there that you're talking to. It could be his supervisor. It could be the district attorney's office, the district attorney investigators. You know, you don't know who's looking at this stuff and where this is going to come back and haunt you.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that particular district attorney has been drummed out of town.
No, he's still here.
Or he's maybe he's, today.
He's actually running. He's running for re-election. I think we'll see what happens today.
What's his name? Garza. I think he's getting primary today. I've seen polling that says he's out on his way out.
Think so?
Yeah, but we'll see, right? I mean, that would be good for everybody. He's the last defund the police person still left from that previous administration, I believe.
Because unfortunately, whoever makes it tonight is going to be the next DA.
Oh yeah, there's no Republican version, you know.
Not in Austin.
Yeah, it's weird to me, man, how this guy Garza was one of the primary defund the police people in Austin. Luckily, Abbott threatened to pull funding and everything if they tried to pull that bullshit. But right. He's still around. I how can you be that wrong? And it isn't just in Austin. Every city in the country that passed some kind of defund the police thing refunded them almost immediately within 6 months, right? Most of them, including Portland, Seattle, and L.A. Like almost all of them refunded the police within the course of 6 months.
Because they realized all the chaos.
Yeah. But this guy still has a job. That's insane to me. You know what I mean? It makes me not want to go to Austin, frankly, right? Because if people are that stupid to vote for these guys, then that's – you have to live with that, but I don't. I live over here now.
Well, it'd be crazy if he got reelected. That would be crazy.
Well, we'll see.
I don't believe what polls say.
We'll see this evening. Yeah, I don't either. Polls, yeah, we'll see. He's wildly unpopular amongst other elected officials in Austin. I know that.
Is he? But how do the other Democrats see him?
The statewide Democrats like him, but the statewide Democrats are like Wendy Davis and Beto and people like this who are not in any way connected with Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're from here, sure, but Texas people don't think like that. I don't think. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's always a good idea to keep your fucking mouth shut.
Yeah, absolutely.
It costs you $0 to keep your fucking mouth shut.
And remember, police can lie to you, but you can't lie to them. They can lie to you. They can trick you. And it's not if you're, you know, pro-police, anti-police. This is a fact. This is a Supreme Court precedent. You know, police can lie to you, but you cannot lie to them. Mm. So just remember that. It's best to, you know, a police officer, I get pulled over on the side of the road. Police officer asks me, you know, hey, Michael, where are you going to today? Nowhere in particular. Where are you coming from? Nowhere in particular. What are you doing today? Nothing in particular. Always going to be polite. Always going
to
be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't cost you anything to be polite either. And it doesn't, I mean, and it does, regardless of what you think, if you're making some kind of point, you're in a bad mood. It's like, imagine every interaction with the cops is an interaction with your wife or whatever. It's like, you might fucking get your points in now, but you're going to pay for it later, buddy.
That's right.
I promise you that.
They play that chess game, play that loan game.
Yeah. And it's just not worth it, man. Like, what? So you can dunk on some dude and make him feel like shit? That job sucks anyways.
Right.
I don't know why anybody wants to be a cop anymore. It's hard. Well, actually, people don't want to be cops.
They don't want to. That's why we're having a hard time trying to hire police here in Austin and all, and I think every major city in the country, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think Austin has 1,500 police billets. And they only have like 1,100 cops, I think is the last I saw, 1,150 maybe, something like that.
Yeah, we're definitely
short. So almost a third understaffed right now. But for a city with 1 million people in it, they're almost a third understaffed. That's not great. But it is, I guess, why I never get pulled over. I haven't been pulled over once since I moved here. When's the last time you got pulled over by a cop?
It'll definitely be pre-COVID, let me tell you.
Yeah, like 2019, somewhere around then, I think.
Long before that.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. And the funny thing is...
But we don't have a whole lot of really bad traffic accidents on our freeways here either, though, right?
No, lately... This,
every now and again we do, but it's not like... When I've lived in other major cities before, and it was like almost every weekend there's some stupid shit going on.
Things are starting to get bad now. We're having a little more shootings.
I mean traffic stuff on the freeway.
There's a little more fatalities. There's more of this pedestrian and vehicle thing going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Homeless people trying to cross the interstate.
Well.
Just can't make it.
What are you going to do? They want to play Frogger. That's on them, to be honest.
Just didn't make it. He didn't make it.
Yeah. What are you going to do? So you come to Texas. You come to Austin. and start a gun store. Tell me the difference between, and I think this, a lot of people who live in or around major metro areas will probably identify with this to some degree. But since you came here, I guess, in the late 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Tell, because Austin's always been, I guess, liberal, but that's not really the right word for it here.
Oh, just, very liberal.
It's just like weird here, right?
Yeah, not just liberal, very liberal.
Yeah. But it's also like a, it's not like a Portland or a Seattle liberal. It's a weird, it's a weird group of people here. Very eclectic and a bizarre mix. Tell me about how Austin has, like, what it was like when you got here originally and now, and like from then till today.
I stepped into town and I wanted to open up the gun store, it wasn't even a gun store, to be honest with you. Initially, I wanted to find a place where I could just teach classes. Mm. All I want to do is teach license carry handgun courses, beginning classes, teach people how to shoot. That's all I wanted to do. It was never meant to be, I was never meant to be in the business of selling guns. So that was the hard part. It was hard to find a location to lease a space in the city limits that someone would let me, you know, where I could teach a class. I couldn't do it. They were like, no, we don't want anything to do with guns. It's like, well, it's not having anything to do with guns. We're teaching classes and we're doing the gun stuff at the range. Mm. We're not doing the gun stuff, you know, in that facility.
Right.
And so they were just like, no. And we looked for at least a year and a half trying to find a place, yeah, to do to just do classes. Eventually, I finally found one. Luckily, it was next to an AR parts, you know, store. They sold AR-15 parts and accessories and stuff like that. So we were able to move in there. And then a friend of mine said, hey, you know, well, I'm in an FFL. I said, okay, well, let's move your FFL into this location because I got a perfect room for you. You know, there's a perfect room off to the side there. We can do the gun sales there. We got a perfect room for the classroom, do the classes back there. And so that's where we ended up moving in, you know, back in like 2011. Got in there and started, you know, doing classes, start selling guns, and it just really took off.
Yeah. Well, how many people do you think you get through there a year?
You're talking like 100 people a week.
You know, really?
Oh yeah, we
probably, and you're still doing LTC classes and shit?
Absolutely.
Even though we're a constitutional carry state now, but for all you out there, if you live in one of those states, there's a lot of them now, actually. There's mm-hmm. like, what, 20 some mm-hmm. constitutional carry states. Still, with the Brady background check bullshit, you don't have to wait. If you have an LTC, you can just like put that shit down on the table and get your gun right then.
I tell people there are several reasons why it's good to get a license. It's good to have a license if you're going to purchase a gun. Whether you have a license or not, you have to fill out the 4473, which is a firearm transaction record. Mm. You're going to fill out that form. We're going to call the FBI, do a background check on you. The FBI is going to say proceed, out you go with the gun, delayed, you have to wait 3 business days or denied. If you are delayed or denied from purchasing a firearm from a gun store, you report it to the FBI and put in a system where every law enforcement agency in the country has access to it, thanks to Senator John Cornyn, because he's the one that passed that part of it. So that's why you report it. So, but if you have a license to carry handgun, there's no contacting the FBI. There's no getting reported at all because you have an LTC and your background checks already been done.
Right.
It's good to have a license when you're driving within a 1,000 feet of a school. When you're going through a school, an elementary school, middle school, high school, it's good to have a license to carry handgun. Because you're driving through a school zone, you're actually violating the federal law of having any weapons at all, unless you have your license to carry handgun. With your license, you're exempt of the federal law. Mm. It's good to have a license if you're going to go out to drink. If you're going to go out and have a drink with your meal, if you have a gun on you in your vehicle, you have any alcohol in your system at all, that is unlawful to carry a weapon, class A misdemeanor, up to 1 year in jail, unless you have a license. With a license to carry handgun in Texas, you can be below 0.08. Hmm. You can't be intoxicated, but you can be below 0.08. And it's also good to have a license when you go into the airport. Go to the airport, you forget and you have your gun in your carry-on luggage, you can say, oopsie, my bad, I have a license to carry handgun. They will walk into your vehicle and let you lock the gun up in your vehicle if you have a license. Without a license, that is a felony.
To the $10,000 fine.
Right. It's
very, and there's no getting out of that fine. I mean, to be honest, they'll drop the felony most of the time and make it a misdemeanor because it's stupid.
But you're going to get a fine.
But you're paying $10,000 for that, just for the fine, not including your attorney fees and shit. So fuck that, right?
Yeah, you definitely get a fine.
Also, make sure you check your bags and shit before you go to the airport. If you don't use the same bag you use daily for travel for your range bag, that's dumb. I mean, I know of a lot of people have done that.
A lot
that.
Of people got caught that way.
And like, I know some magazines, rounds, all kinds of shit in there. It's like, that's not worth it. I mean, for a magazine of rounds, they're just gonna fucking throw that shit away. But if it's an actual gun, you got a problem. You know, it's dumb. And it's not like a knife where you're gonna be like, it's $100. Just throw it away. It's like, you don't want to be they're not throwing a gun away. You know what I mean?
No. And that's how a lot of people get popped that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just careless. You know, it's a discipline to carry a gun every day. I've been carrying a concealed weapon. Let's see, what year is this? For 22 years now, almost every day, except for if I've been out of the country. It's the only time I don't have a gun on me. I mean, I've got, when I come to my office or my house, I've got rifles, all kinds of shit all around me all the time. And I think I think if you have the ability, not just the skill and talent, I guess, to use the weapon, but also the will to use the weapon, it's a responsibility that you should have it on you all the time.
That's right.
Like, I don't want to be that guy who's standing there with my thumb up my ass when other people are getting hurt when I could stop it. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about it. And I've always felt that way. That's why I joined the military in the first place. I'm sure that's why most people join the military. But it's a discipline. Like any other thing you do in life, it's a routine. Admiral Craven talks about getting up and making your bed to get your day started or whatever, right? I think I've never made my bed as an adult because that's retarded to me. Like, who's coming into my bedroom to check out what the sheets look like? But having a routine and doing things by the book, it's why they hammer us in basic training. You go to basic training, they give you a gun. Like the third week, they give you a rifle, and you carry that rifle around without ammo for a month, more or less. And anytime it's not in the proper condition, they fuck your ass up, right? classical conditioning, just light your ass up. But you develop discipline and routine then. You know, it's like over the course of about 10 weeks is how long it takes to build a habit. And if you do something for 10 weeks like that, every time I leave my house, I rack around, put it in my holster or my fanny pack, whenever I go to and from places, you just do the same thing over and over again, and you don't forget. It's like checking your lights when you leave, right?
Right.
But I think it's a big responsibility. You carry everywhere you go as well. Mm-hmm. Why? What's your motivation for that, aside from just obvious personal protection?
I've been doing it for like years since, I think since I was 21 years old, I've been carrying a gun. I've had a license, you know, ever since 21. I had a license in Georgia. I had a license in Florida, New Hampshire, and one other state in Texas. And I've just been doing it since I was 21, and I'm going to turn 55 this month.
Yeah. Yeah, I got, let's see. My first one was in South Carolina, then North Carolina, then Georgia, then Florida. Because Florida made it pretty easy back in the day.
It was expensive.
Ag department. It cost some money, but the ag department.
$300.
You just send in your fucking military ID, and they don't make you do anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Washington State, California.
Georgia was easier than that. Much easier. Georgia, you just go into the courthouse there, just the judge, give him a thumbprint, boom, you walk out with it.
Washington State was like that, too, for an out-of-state. Because I lived in California, but I worked up in Seattle a lot.
Yeah.
And I just went into the sheriff's department one day, did live scan, not even real. Usually they make you do wet ink print still. Okay. I don't know why. That's fucking stupid. Like, live scan is so much better.
Right? Yeah.
But I did live scan, filled out the paperwork, and then literally 14 days later, the concealed carry permit was at my house in California. Yeah. It's like, all right, cool, man. And it didn't cost that much. It was like $150 maybe.
Yeah. And we do that now. We do Identigo. Mm. So we do that at the gun store right now. So you want to get your fingerprints done for a background check for something, we do that, all digital prints and stuff.
I need to come do your LTC class. I haven't had one the whole time I've been here now. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, do what I want. But I buy a lot of guns, so it's always annoying.
It's good. Yeah, for that reason, it's definitely good to have.
Like, what usually happens is I'll buy the gun and then have to fuck off, go to a coffee shop or something for a little while it runs the whole thing. Because I usually buy, I'm busy during the week, so I always buy on the weekend, and you know how it is, man. Sometimes you don't get a response for a couple of hours from those dicks. But yeah, I need to do that soon. Maybe I'll come by your place and do it.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the training portion. I'm very curious about this. You don't just do LTC classes, right? You do all sorts of stuff.
So we do security courses, like private security, like level 2 security, which is unarmed, level 3 security, which is armed, level 4 security, which is PPO, personal protection.
Yeah. Now this is Yet you in Texas, because I did this in California. I was a bodyguard in California, and I did workplace violence stuff. You got to have a guard card. You got to have a gun card. All this other shit, right? Is it the same here in Texas?
Not the gun card, but yeah, definitely a guard card. So you have to be certified through the state of Texas, and they'll send you a card, a guard card, and you have to keep that on you while you're working. And that's for, you know, two, uniform, no gun. Three, uniform, carry gun on the outside. Four, plain clothes, personal protection. So, yeah. So you definitely get certified to do all that stuff. And then we also do, I'm a school safety instructor. Mm. I'm a school, first responder instructor. Mm. So a lot of people don't know this, that our first responders here in Texas, and this is one of the few states you can do this, you could be a firefighter, EMS, and you have to be in a small county, not Travis County, a large county. It has to be a smaller county, like Bastrop or somewhere like that. You're in a smaller county. You can actually take a course, a first responders course. You have to have your life scary handgun, your LTC, and then you can be a first responder who actually carries. So that way,
while you're in uniform,
while you're working, you can actually carry in all the prohibited places. So every place that no one else can carry, you can actually carry there only while you're working.
Right. That's I didn't know that, actually. Yes. I have a lot of friends who are firefighters here, and I don't think it has to be a smaller county.
It can't be a large county.
Why is that? The county has to approve, like the sheriff has
it's
to
like,
approve?
It's like baby steps. No. No, there's no approval for anyone, you know, other than, you know, hey, you can do it.
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't want more trained guns on a violent scene, frankly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've done, let's see, probably 120 nighttime raids in my career, right? That's nighttime raids as in 2 o'clock in the morning. We're either walking or heloing in, run into an objective, kick the doors down, and under night vision, right? And if somebody calls me on my radio, I'm like, hey, we've got some extra operators in the area. Do you guys need some help? I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah, what the fuck? Of course I do. Are you kidding me? I don't understand why you wouldn't want that if you're a tactical person. But unfortunately, very rarely is it the case that tactical people make administrative decisions right? Which is fucking stupid, man. I mean, whether it's law enforcement, military, or just the general public, it always makes sense to build from the ground up, right? Every physical structure we know of in life is built from the ground up. Now we seem in culture, in Western culture rather, to be playing this weird game of Jenga where we keep removing stuff from the middle and putting it on the top. And it's getting pretty wobbly
right now.
Right. Not great. Not great. So let's get back into the gun stuff. as I mentioned, Texas is a constitutional carry state. I think there are 27 others. I think there's 28
something
total.
Like that. Yeah.
But aside from that, what are some things about carrying on a daily basis that you think people should know that isn't, like, I guess, mainstream knowledge? I mean, that's one of them, the first responder thing I didn't know about.
Right. Carrying that they don't know, that they should know. A lot of people get in trouble just for carrying in prohibited places. When constitutional carry went into effect here in Texas on September 1st of 2021, what happened was everyone was all excited. Man, I can carry a gun in Texas. I don't need a license. I don't need to know anything. And he started carrying. Well, that September, October, November, December, that's 4 months of that year, unlawfully weapon convictions in Texas that year increased by 500% because people thought they knew what the laws were. Mm. So it's, even though we're a constitutional carry state, you still need to be educated on what your gun laws are in the state that you live in. You need to know when you can threaten someone with a gun, when you legally shoot someone with a gun. A lot of people think that they can actually fire warning shots.
That's
to get someone to run away.
Anybody that's been to guard school knows that's not the case.
You cannot fire warning
shots.
That's
like one of the first things you hear about, do not fire a warning shot, which Ever. Is kind of interesting that you can't do that, to be right. honest, because it probably would prevent some shit, but whatever. Yeah,
you
that's
can't
definitely
do it.
One.
Yeah. And then another thing is people think that you can, you know, you can actually shoot trespassers. A lot of people have these signs, you know, I shoot trespassers. You can't shoot trespassers.
Someone's, and not unarmed trespassers? No,
so
that's...
unarmed, someone's on your, let's say your house surrounded by a gate, a 20-foot wall. Someone climbs that gate, they climb that wall, they're in your front yard, your backyard, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. You cannot shoot them for that, just the mere fact of them being on your property. They're committing a crime, you can't shoot them for that. They have to be doing something else. They have to be breaking into your car, breaking into your house, trying to kill you. They have to be doing something else before you can use deadly force to stop them.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So burglary basically is the threshold. Typically, it's like, even if you're sitting in your car, I don't know if this is the case in Texas, but this was the case in California. So you're sitting in your car and somebody reaches through the window or grabs the door handle and tries to pry your door open. That is attempted carjacking. Now you can use some amount of force, but I don't think you can use deadly force.
So in Texas, we have a castle doctrine. Mm. Castle doctrine means that three places you should feel safe. You should feel safe inside your home, your vehicle, and your place of business. If someone tries to enter or remove you from your home, your vehicle, your place of business while you're inside, you can use force, a deadly force, to stop them.
Even in some cases, so this is the case in California we had to learn about, especially for guards, because you have some authority and you're armed a lot of the time, right? But you at least have some kind of authority. Mm-hmm. The rules on kidnapping and unlawful detention are very murky in some states, right? I don't know what they are here in Texas, to be honest, but like in California, for example, if Joel here had not necessarily committed a crime, if I didn't have PC, if I didn't have probable cause to stop him from doing what he's doing, and I fucking try to detain him in my office, that's an unlawful arrest. Mm-hmm. If I try to move him from my office to a second location, that's attempted kidnapping, right? In California, that's how it was. Now, they're a little bit more sensitive than most states, but there's a lot of like, let's say somebody, you're at your place of business and somebody comes in and tries to break a fucking window or something, right? And you stop them. You can't just like manhandle that dude and move him around from place to place. You can put him in one location and hold him there until the cops come, but you can't like fucking zip tie him and put him in a closet somewhere, right? Because now you've kidnapped this guy,
right?
So I want to get some of the basics out of the way. In Texas, well, let me give you a background. In California, any citizen, whether guard or not, but you learn this in the guard classes, any citizen of the state or any U.S. citizen that's in the state, if you see somebody committing a misdemeanor, if you see it with your own eyes, you can stop them, right, and detain them for the police. If you hear about them committing a violent felony, which is to say assault or attempted burglary or murder or something like that, you can stop them whether you saw it or not, right, and hold up for the police to come. What's it like in Texas?
All right. So in Texas, when it comes to like, let's say the stand your ground law. Mm-hmm. So the stand your ground law says anywhere I have a right to be, as long as I'm not committing a crime, as long as I'm not provoking someone, then, you know, as long as I'm not trespassing or anything like that, I have a right to be there. Then I can use force, deadly force to stop someone. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you asked about, what was that? You asked about the, God, what was that? Like burglary, I think you said.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like burglary, if anything that protrudes from a person's body, and this is Texas, anything that sticks out of that person's body, sticks through a door window, they're trying to pick the lock, they're trying to pry the window open, you can use force, deadly force to stop them. You know, that's burglary.
Yep.
You know, they're forcing their way in, they're picking the lock, something protrudes from their body. You can use force, deadly force to stop
them. Well, I mean, so like if I walk up on somebody trying to bust into the building next door, I can't just shoot them in the back because they're trying to pry a door open, right?
Yeah. So if they're breaking into that place next door, yeah, daytime or nighttime, you can use force, deadly force to stop them in Texas. If they're committing burglary.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even if it's not my place.
Yeah. Even if it's not your place.
So what about breaking into a car?
Same thing.
Somebody's trying to slim jam a car, and I can just pop
them. You can use force, a deadly force to stop them when it comes to burglary of a vehicle.
Interesting. Good to know. Now, keep going on that.
I always tell people, you know, put a dollar amount on that piece of property. You know, when it comes to using, you know, deadly force to stop someone from, you know, taking property or breaking into property, put a dollar amount on that. You know, because here's what we're talking about. You can be fingerprinted, you can be booked, spend night in jail, the bailiff's office, the sheriff, and hire an attorney. It's going to cost you $20,000 to defend yourself before a grand jury to prove that you're justified in doing what you're doing. Because you're, you know, if you're in Travis County, you know, which is Austin, Texas, you know, the liberal mecca, that this deep blue sea, you know, deep blue dot in the sea of red here, that DA is going to get a hold of you and is going to want to prosecute you if you're a pro-gun person.
Yep.
So you know, definitely make sure, you know, put a dollar amount on it. Is this what this person is taking? Is this worth $20,000 to me? That's what you have to ask yourself. Now, life is precious. Life cannot be replaced.
Right.
If someone tries to kill someone, you know, you definitely want to stop that. But property, put a dollar amount on it.
Sure, yeah. And I would say don't get involved in situations that you're not trained to handle. If it all, like, sometimes it just happens. There's nothing you can do about it. But if I walk up and somebody's trying to get into my car, that's going to go a lot differently than if they're trying to get to somebody else's car, probably.
Right.
But I'm still going to, like, create standoff with that guy and get my weapon out.
Right.
You know what I mean? If he's got a tool in his hand and he starts making movements towards me, then we can handle it that way. But I'm not just going to pop some dude because he's being a jackass. I mean, right. That just seems like a frivolous use of your gun, to be right. honest.
And then you're talking about kidnapping also. When it comes to this simple kidnapping, you can't use force, deadly force to stop simple kidnapping. You know, you're supposed to call the police. And the reason this is set up this way, in Texas, they were debating this at the Capitol. They said, okay, hold on. You know, we don't want regular citizens to be able to use force, deadly force to stop simple kidnapping. Because what if, you know, a husband and wife, you know, they're in a parking lot sitting somewhere in a divorce situation. They're there to exchange kids for the weekend. And one parent has claimed the child's been taken from the other parents. They, you know, claim they kidnapped them. You know, we don't want shootouts to start there, you know. So let's let the courts decide that. Call the police. Let them handle that. When it comes to simple kidnapping, we can't use force, deadly force to stop simple kidnapping. But if it's aggravated kidnapping, we can. If they're holding them for ransom, they use them as a shield, they're trying to kill them, production of a weapon, you can use force, deadly force, to stop aggravated kidnapping.
Oh, aggravated kidnapping also includes any kind of assault or battery, I believe, right?
Correct.
So, like, if you – it's different if you see somebody ushering the kids into the car versus grabbing them by the neck and throwing them in the car, right?
Right.
That you got a big difference here. You got to use, I guess, a little bit of your judgment to decide what you're going to do there. But to be honest – popping some dude in front of his kids probably isn't going to help them out that much.
A lot of times you can figure out if this, okay, this is a family, you know, these are your parents trying to get their kids in the vehicle. A lot of times you can figure that stuff out, but sometimes it's a little more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not a fucking mind reader either.
No.
I mean, luckily, so that's why we have cops. They've got the authority to stop this dude.
That's right. And you got to remember,
at least ask some questions, right?
And you're carrying a gun. It's not about you being a one armed security team trained to clear a entire building. It's about your personal protection of yourself and your family for the most part.
Yeah. Have there been any big stand your ground cases in Texas?
Yes.
I mean, I guess that one that you talked about earlier with the Army and Air Force guys, Castle Doctrine, stand your ground thing, they both technically had a right to be there. I'm not sure if the dude that got clipped, I mean, look, if somebody fucking has an AK in the low ready and starts to lift it at me, they're getting fucking dotted up.
Yes.
That's just the way it is, right? Because how do I know what their intent? I can't read their mind any more than they can read mine.
And there's a lot going on right there. It was a lot. The police recovered probably about, I don't know, 20 sets of footprints off the vehicle, several, you know, handprints off the vehicle. They caused damage to the vehicle.
Well, how is that not unlawful detention?
Yeah.
Everybody in that crowd, that should have been.
It gets worse. So when the sergeant pulled out his concealed handgun, fired those shots, stopped that person, the crowd dispersed, right? Which is what they're going to do. When shots are fired, they all run. Cleared his path. He took off. So when he drives forward, there was someone in the crowd, one of the protesters, who was a medic here in town, who was just in town, you know, just because of the protest, decided to pull out his concealed handgun, and he fired shots at the vehicle. Now, they asked him, you know, why'd you fire shots at the vehicle? He said this on the stand. He testified to this on the stands against the sergeant, United States Army, you know, Daniel Perry. Mm-hmm. He said that the reason he fired shots at the vehicle because he wanted the police to to be able to identify the vehicle down the road. And I'm like, that is the definition of deadly
conduct.
That's
a felony.
Yeah, you just deadly conduct. And do you know that they did not prosecute him? He was not prosecuted because he was one of the protesters.
Mm.
That's your DA.
Mother of God. That's Jose P. Garza, by the way.
That is correct. He's running for re-election.
I think the P stands for fucking retard. Hopefully he gets booted out of there today, to be honest. He's one of the biggest pieces of shit DAs left in the country. By the way, another George Soros-funded campaign.
That is correct.
One of the many. Alvin Bragg in New York, Fannie Willis in Atlanta, all these people, right? George Gascon in fucking L.A., What are your thoughts on that? I know you follow this stuff. I don't know how much you were involved in the legality of some of this stuff beyond just the training use of firearms specifically. But so you got this Supreme Court case. We'll talk about that in a sec. But since about 2018, Soros has been funding judge and DA races around the country. And everybody calls it a conspiracy theory. It's definitely not. They're public records. You can go to opensecrets.org and see everybody he's fucking donated to, right? He gave $1 million to Gavin Newsom's recall election. $1.5 million, excuse me. And he funded the recall on the DA of San Francisco, who eventually lost as well, right? Wow. So, I mean, all this stuff. When you see something like that, somebody who's – like, you're pretty balls deep in this whole fucking stuff now because of your lawsuit. What does it say to you that somebody like that is funding this stuff? And in the direction, the defund the police, what do they call it? Harm reduction.
Right.
Which is harm reduction, for those of you who haven't heard this phrase or don't know what it means, is a phrase used by progressive judges, DAs, and politicians. And it basically means we're not going to fucking hold people in prison. No cash bail, none of that shit, right?
Yeah, you have someone like that. They definitely have their thumb on the scale. And, you know, they have a right to do it. They have a right to spend their money any way they see fit on one hand. On the other hand, you know, it's crazy because we, the people, are definitely getting shafted. By, you know, this DA who's not, he's only focusing on, like, a lot of DAs in these major cities are only focusing on law enforcement and trying to prosecute police officers. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to prosecute the real criminals. Right now, you have a lot of teenagers are committing some really crazy crimes, you know, in a lot of the major cities. And it's going unchecked because they know they're a teenager. They're going to go through the juvenile justice system and they get a pat on the back and move along if they get prosecuted. Matter of fact, they'll be out, you know, faster than that cop will clock out for the day.
Wow.
You know, they'll be back on the street, back at home again, in their own little bit. So, you know, this is where we are today. That's why, you know, I encourage people, you know, get a gun. Know what the laws are, you know, and if you have to send one of these monsters, you know, to Jesus, you send them straight to Jesus on the express, on the escalator.
Yeah. There's this philosophical principle called Handlin's Razor, and it says, don't imply malice where incompetence will suffice, right? And I believe in that a lot. I think we assume there's a boogeyman when a lot of times it's just weak and incompetent people. Mm. However, when a foreign national like Soros, who's destroyed fucking national economies before in Europe, right? Intentionally so. He said he did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. When somebody like that is funding people who are doing things that we know are antithetical to safety and survival, right? That is a little bit too far for me just to say it's incompetence. Now, maybe it's incompetence on behalf of the politicians who just want the money so they can win, so they can be powerful or whatever the fuck motivates people like that. But it's very clearly an intentional power grab by somebody who doesn't belong here in the fucking first place, frankly. Now, you're going through all these legal processes now. What's that look like to you, a guy like that? I mean, how do you – it seems intentional to me.
Yeah. They're making a mistake somewhere along the lines. You got to figure out what mistake is they're making. No one does anything perfectly. So there's something that he's doing wrong. You just got to figure out what it is he's doing wrong and try to call him on it. That's the best we can do because he definitely has the money to fund everything that he's doing. He's got the money. He's got the funds. You know, maybe follow the money. Where is it coming from? You know, maybe cut him off at the source. So if you can affect that pocketbook, then that changes the game, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the lawsuit. This is
Cargill versus Garland. Yeah. Merrick Garland.
So this is about Trump's bump stock ban, which I believe was it an executive order, or did he just tell ATF to make a regulation?
He told the ATF to, you know, to get rid of them. You know, let's go ahead and ban them, and that's what the ATF did. They took the marching orders and ran with it. And keep in mind that bump stocks became legal in this country. It was first looked at by the Bush administration and then, you know, passed, pretty much said okay by the Obama administration. This was looked at about 10 times. They did their checks on bump stocks, and all 10 times they said there's nothing wrong with bump stocks. They're legal. They're not machine guns. And we were able to buy bump stocks in this country. Mm. So now you're talking about they're here. They're, you know, everywhere. They're in common use. And all of a sudden, someone allegedly uses a bump stock to commit a heinous crime in Las Vegas, and then they decide to ban them in the entire country, the first time it was ever been used in a crime. And I still want to see the shell casings on the floor from that from that shooting, because I didn't see enough shell casings on the ground in that hotel room for me to be convinced that this person fired all those shots.
Right. Yeah. Is so you say allegedly, you're talking about the Mandalay Bay shooting. Why do you not believe that what the real story is? The reason I don't is because there are cameras everywhere in Vegas, and there is shockingly limited camera footage of this dude moving around.
Right.
But which means for sure, especially Mandalay Bay is an MGM owned.
You're talking about Las Vegas has the most sophisticated security system in the entire world.
They have, like, people don't know this, but they have gate recognition, which means
they have facial recognition. Yeah, they have facial recognition.
So gate recognition is one of the most, and they're using AI now for it too, right? So let's say you were wearing a disguise or something, they can see through your disguise and see your facial recognition still. But for gate recognition,
it gets worse than that. We're talking when he walked in with a bag like that, they can see through that bag and tell there was a gun in that bag.
Oh yeah,
talking. They have the best technology, you know, in the world.
Yeah.
So he walked into the hotel. He walked into the casino there to check into the hotel. They knew what was inside that bag because they can see in that bag and see their firearms inside that bag. That's just how sophisticated their alarm system, their security system is.
Yeah.
You know,
and even tracking people around, not just the hotel, but around the city, gate recognition makes a pattern of the way you walk. And it can tell you, like, from top down, it can see you in a crowd just based on how you walk and how your arms swing and shit. This is the level of technology we're talking about.
I do that myself at a small gun store that I have. I can track everyone. I can track a person from the you pull into our parking lot to the point you go to the restroom inside inside my suite. I can track you and trail you through the parking lot, into the building, up into the door of the restroom. You know, it will show a trail of where you walked, show the vehicle that you got out of and everything. I can track your license plate. You know, you pull into the parking lot, I got your license plate number.
Yeah.
And that's just me on my level.
Yeah. Those vehicle trackers, by the way, track the chassis of the vehicle, which means if there's too much weight in it and it's not the right height off the ground, and then you remove some stuff and it goes up too far, that sets off an alarm bell.
Yes, right? They have the most sophisticated system in this world. So you're absolutely right when you're saying there's not enough camera footage, because the footage, the shoddy security camera footage that I saw, that didn't come from no good system. I don't know what's going on or what they're showing the public, but that was crazy.
So, you know, there's a lot of people who are called conspiracy theorists, I guess, still, even after all this time, would call that a false flag operation, right? So a false flag operation is, you know, the state or some central authority faking something so they can, towards some end, so they can take some liberty away, typically is how it goes. Mm-hmm. And if you're like, oh, fucking, that's crazy. The government wouldn't do anything like that. Well, there's Operation Northwoods, right? If you're not familiar with Operation Northwoods, I'm probably going to get the whole channel censored now talking about this. But
I mean, you can go back as far as, like, even way earlier than that. You know, you want to talk about COVID and shutting the country down, and they're like, oh, no, there's no way they would, you know, inject you with something and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, let's go to the Tuskegee, you know, experiments and stuff like that. There's so many things that we could talk about as far as the government actually doing something and testing things on people.
Yeah, hard. Like, if you still, at this point, especially after COVID, if you still find it hard to believe that the government would do some fucked up shit and lie about everything, maybe you need to wake up a little bit. But there are, like, concrete... No, Operation Northwoods, the United States planned to attack Miami, right, and pretend it was Cuba so we could invade Cuba. Mm. That was a plan that was authorized by the Department of Defense and the Central Intelligence Agency. Mm. Operation Susanna in Israel in 54, Operation TPA Jax, which was basically, we ended up doing it, overthrowing the fucking Iranian government and putting the Shah in because he was more friendly about oil sales for us. Like, we've done this over and over. We put General Torrejo in power in Panama, then we fucking murdered him, threw him out of a fucking plane, and then we put Manuel Noriega in, let him sell our drugs for a while so we could make money to buy guns for Iran. And then we fucking put him in federal prison for the rest of his life.
He's right? Still sitting today.
It's like we've done this. When I say we, I mean the United States has done this over and over again. And you don't think they'll fucking have some mass shooting thing? And look, I don't know how far I can really believe the conspiracy part of it. But it is, it's wildly alarming that every single one of these mass shooter people are on the FBI's radar, every single one of them. And a lot of them have had contact. When I say mass shooting, I mean the way the media defines it, not what an actual mass shooting is, which is happening in inner cities every day, right? Like the vast majority of mass shootings.
But the important part, you just said that, is contact.
Yeah.
They've had contact with these people, you know, from agencies, from, you're talking about your FBI. FBI doesn't, you know, go knocking on anyone's door. The FBI comes to visit you, you know, and they're checking something out on you. That's because there's probably some credible threat there. And the fact this person was allowed to walk freely around, you know, with everyone and actually commit these heinous crimes is actually just, it's crazy to me.
Well, so if something, this is a question for you. You're a private gun seller and you're obviously an extreme two-way absolutist and advocate, I would say. If there is information, publicly sourced information available that would identify the next Dylann Roof, you as a gun store owner, would you want that information and how would you apply it, I guess is the question I'm going to ask, because people ask me about this stuff all the time, and my elevator pitch is simple. It's, I think everybody that can hear the sound of my voice probably knows at least one person, whether personally or through somebody else, that shouldn't own a gun, a crazy person, like somebody that's dangerous to other people. What we don't want, however, is the state adjudicating who's who, because they abuse that power always. There's never been a case of giving the state that kind of power where they don't abuse it. So how do we get the information, the predictive information, to you, so you can look at that guy? Because you and I have talked about this before when I was on your show. Some trench coat looking motherfucker came in and kept trying to buy a gun. And eventually, I think his mom got involved. And you were like, no, get the fuck out of here, right?
Right.
But you're not a mind reader either.
Right.
So you want and need all the tools possible to be able to do this. So where's the line on that stuff? Like, I don't like red flag stuff.
Right.
Because
right.
It can be abused, right?
Right.
And anytime you create a system that can abuse somebody's liberties, that's a problem. But you, as a private gun store owner, excuse me, and as a private citizen, you have the right of association as well. Somebody walks into your store and you don't like the cut of their jib, you can tell them to pounce in.
Right.
And you've not violated their rights. They can go somewhere else.
Right.
So where is the line on this?
So it becomes an individual responsibility of the business owner. So there's systems out there right now that people are testing where, you know, they peruse the social media postings and stuff like that, things that people say. Like, for example, let's say someone has said something online or done something, you know, and
like this.
Okay.
Right. You're familiar with these guys.
And then, so let's say that person decides they're going to take a class with me or something like that, or they're going to buy a gun. I have access to that information. I can decide whether or not I want to give that person a class or sell them a gun.
Right.
By looking at that information, it's going to be my, you know, my personal responsibility if I want to do something like that, if I want to, you know, do this exchange. Yeah. And if I see that information and judging off of that, I decide not to sell this person a gun, then boom, you know, my conscience is clear. But if that person does, you know, I do sell a gun to this person, that person goes out there and shoots and kills a bunch of people, that's going to be on my conscience.
Not just on your conscience, but your wallet as well, maybe. Bad reputation for your business, or you get sued.
That is true.
Which is a fucking insane thing that,
We've had people come into the store, you know, a number of times. We had someone come in just last week. A guy came in to get fingerprinting done. This guy was, you know, batshit crazy, and he wanted to get a license. He wanted to get a gun. He was getting his fingerprints for the license, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, he was going to bash someone's face in, and, you know, he was just talking crazy. And so to the point that my staff, you know, they called me, and I was like, well, call the police and have the police, you know, criminal trespass him and kick him out. That's all we can do. Let's give him some law enforcement interaction there. So that's what we did.
Yeah, so I like that idea. I mean, it is personal responsibility for sure for the seller, right?
Absolutely.
Like, this is one of the premises of this show is, like, if you really believe in limited government and you believe in maximizing liberty, the only way to do that, the only way to secure those things, is by performing the responsibilities required of you.
Yeah.
Right. And if, when enough people do that, then we have a more or less safe, I mean, nothing's ever going to be bubble wrapped, right? That's not how life works, but we'll have a much safer situation when we do the work ourselves. When the government shows up and nobody's got their hands out, then they got no power, right?
They'll
fuck off and go somewhere else. which is the desired outcome always because the government sucks. But we are, we're kind of woefully inadequate in the way that we adjudicate some of those things. Again, like the some dude working the counter at a gun store is not a mind reader. He doesn't know what somebody's intent is. But if he had some social media post in front of him from that weirdo that was in your office the other day that said, "I'm going to go fucking do this or do that."
Had a manifesto. Him,
yeah.
That he released.
You're looking at it.
Before someone goes and do something, usually they put something out there.
Yeah.
And I would like to know if they put out this list or a manifesto or list of people that they wanted to shoot and kill. Yeah. I would like to know that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Because we've had discussions about this software with a bunch of people, and it's mixed reactions. Anytime you're talking about gun rights, people are going to have mixed reactions about it, and I understand that because I agree. But
we're not talking about giving it to – you're not talking about sharing it with law enforcement. You're not talking about sharing it with the government. You're talking about sharing it with businesses, and they can make that decision if they want to do a transaction with someone. They're not going to share it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that 100%. Now, before – we got to get out of here in a minute. But before we get out of here, I want to get more in-depth on this Supreme Court case. So – tell me exactly what the case is. It's Garland v.
Cargill. Correct.
And you sued them?
Right. So the ATF basically came down because of Trump and banned bump stocks. Mm-hmm. Bump stocks was the framework that they used to come after the pistol brace, to come after triggers, the frames and receivers and stuff like that. They used that same wording. That was their foot in the door. Mm-hmm. It started with the bump stock. And so at the time, no one wanted to ban bump stocks. No one wanted to go against, you know, what Trump was saying. It said, and matter of fact, even the NRA, the National Rifle Association, said that, you know, yeah, we'll go ahead and give up the bump stocks. Mind you, which is the funny part, is that the government, in my case, in the Supreme Court, used the words of the NRA to justify why they should ban bump stocks. They actually were, like, quoting the NRA and using the NRA's words in doing the trial in the Supreme Court in my case. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, even the NRA came out, you know, in opposition and said, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and give up the bump stock. And a lot of people said this, you know, I don't care about bump stocks. It's not something I have. Let's go ahead and let them take them. And I said, no, that's crazy. If you give the government an inch, they're going to take a mile. I don't care who's sitting in the White House. I don't care who's the president. I don't care what party they're from. I'm a very strong 100% advocate for the Second Amendment. Mm. It is the Second Amendment of our Constitution. We're talking about the Bill of Rights. We're not talking about the Bill of Needs here. Mm. You know, this is my right. Driving a car is a privilege. The gun is a right. Mm. And so when people talk about, well, we register cars and we register vehicles and all this kind of crap, I don't give a flying hoo-hoo about that.
Yeah.
The fact that guns, that is our right. You know, it's not a privilege, but driving is a privilege. So when I found out they were going to, you know, do this, you know, I decided to, you know, say, no, I'm going to put my foot down. We're going to stop this. Something has to be done. And so I went looking for someone that I knew that can file a case that can possibly make it to the Supreme Court, because we're talking about changing the gun control argument or debate in the entire country. And so I met with an organization called NCLA, and they were looking for a client. I was looking for a law firm, and we got together. We filed this lawsuit against the government, and we went to the first court, which is doing COVID in 2020. We lost that case. It was the only court that was heard in federal court in 2020. We lost because a judge, you know, equated the bump stock to, you know, he said that it was just like a pump shotgun. And so, yeah, so it's like, no, you're nuts, you're crazy. So anyway, we lost that case. And so we appealed the case to the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, and the Fifth Circuit took the case. It was heard with a three-judge panel. All three judges were liberal judges, so we lost that case.
Right.
And so we appealed again to the entire court. They threw out the previous ruling. They heard the case in the Fifth Circuit in front of the entire court, which is they call this en banc. And then we won that case in the Fifth Circuit for Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. They fully understood, you know, what a bump stock was. They understood the definition, what a trigger, and the function of a trigger. They understood that, and the fact that, you know, when you pull the trigger one time, one action of the trigger, one round goes out. Mm-hmm. If one action of the trigger more than one round goes out, then that's a automatic. You know, say they knew that bump stock, with a bump stock, you have to pull the trigger each time.
Right.
And so it's all about the action of the trigger. And so they understood this. We won that case and went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court took up the case. The case was heard in, you know, just this past week in the United States Supreme Court. And judging off of the questions that were asked by the judges there, I'm thinking that we're, you know, probably going to walk away with a 5-3 decision, you know, with hopes, you know, maybe, you know, something better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, 5-4 five, or maybe a 6-3.
Six, yeah, yeah.
5-4 we'll 6-3.
What about binary triggers? Has anybody, no one's tried to ban those, but it's functionally the same thing, right? I mean, still, so.
Pull, release, fire?
Yeah, I mean, it's technically, because the argument I've heard them make, the one that Ketanji Brown Jackson was trying to make, is that it's functionally similar,
right?
Which is not the way the law is written at all, but fair enough, right? You can bring that point up. A binary trigger is functionally identical as well, right? Technically speaking. Now, this whole trope about it being, because one of the things is without a manual reload is a problem for them. Like, oh, I can fire 800 rounds a minute. It's like, okay, you find me an 800 round magazine for an AR. I've never seen one in my fucking life,
right?
Because it doesn't exist. I guess you could get a 100 round beta mag, right?
Yeah. Well, Judge Jackson, she was getting, you know, Ketanji Brown there, she was getting caught up on the, you know, the rounds, the how many rounds it fires and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the rate.
Yeah, that's
or
an
the ratio.
Average based off of a 5-second burst.
Yeah.
Then you extend it out to 60 seconds. But you still have to manually reload the damn thing.
If I pull the trigger, a round goes out and it pauses, another round goes out, it pauses, another round goes out, that's a machine gun because that's one action of the trigger and it's firing. It doesn't matter the rate of fire. You know, I take a Tommy gun. And a Tommy gun, I can fire 1,800 rounds, you know, and that's not an NFA. That's not on the NFA list. The National
The Gatling gun's not an NFA item?
How?
I mean, you'd have to cart that thing around, I guess. That'd be prohibitive to some degree.
So I take the Gatling gun there, and I turn that sucker, and I can fire, hundreds of rounds there, and it's not, I don't need the tax stamp for that. So we're talking the action of the trigger, the function of the trigger is what we're talking about.
Yeah, but a binary trigger... I mean, if you had a beta mag, it's pop, 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 pop. I mean, that's the same rate of fire, right? More or less. So what's the difference? Why is nobody come after that? Because nobody's used it in a mass shooting yet.
It hasn't
allegedly
been used.
Allegedly used it in mass shooting,
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think the justice is going to have to look at the fact that, you know, can the ATF create a right law?
Well, they've already ruled on that with OSHA in 2022, right?
So that's what we'll...
That
we'll,
part's wiped out. It has to be because that's precedent set by this court. And by the way, I think it was 6-3 on that one.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that and see, you know, how many people... We'll see if we if I can get a liberal, you know, over on our side and maybe even go higher than that. Maybe.
Yeah, it would be a good precedent to set to not forget about the whole gun thing, but really hammering home the point that agencies don't have the right to make criminals out of people.
Right.
Right, because that's,
I mean, who would have thought they would get a unanimous decision to put Trump on the ballot?
Yeah, I know.
Unanimous.
Right? I think they're just trying to prevent Republicans from suing everybody next cycle, but we'll see how it goes. All right, well, we got to get out of here. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can keep up with this case. Also, when do you expect a judgment on this?
So we expect to hear something from the United States Supreme Court in May or June before they go on their little summer break, and then we'll find out what happens there. A lot of people are, you know, debating and upset. You know, didn't think my attorney did a good enough job. He did an outstanding job. The attorney did exactly what he was supposed to do. You have to weigh, do I want to answer questions from this particular liberal judge who's an obvious no vote and spend time on that or spend time on my yes votes and try to keep them in the yes corner? Yeah. So you got to weigh that stuff. And you can find me at michaelcargill.com, CentralTexasGunworks.com, you know, or, you know, you can find me on Twitter, Michael D. Cargill, and all that kind of stuff. So definitely search for us, look out for us. MichaelCargill.com is our Give, Send, Go page because this case is $1 million case. We're in the red here. It's $1 million case, and we have several other cases that we're trying to push forward. We're trying to protect other gun stores. So definitely reach out to us and donate.
Sweet. And also check out Come and Talk It, which is your podcast. And it's weekly, right?
We try to put something out weekly.
Yeah, and it's just interesting guests. I've been on it. Tim Kennedy's been on. A lot of people have been on it. Talk about gun rights and also all things gun, I guess, right?
Right.
It's a good show. Go check that out as well. Look, thanks for coming today, man. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. More guns, less crime. Go out buy yourself a gun.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. Thank you all for listening. This has been Citizen.